the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is From iLog Support to IBM Support. Today's presenters are Elaine Papanikolaou and Bill Carey. Elaine has been a program manager for 8 years with the WebSphere Electronic Support Team. She represents WebSphere, Software Group, and IBM Enterprise in the electronic support initiatives to promote awareness of the tools and resources freely available to help clients use IBM software products successfully. Prior to this position, Elaine spent 3 years as a resolution manager helping clients with critical situations, and 1 year as an operations manager at the IBM Pittsburgh lab. She led a team of technical communicators for 9 years at Federated Investors, creating software documentation, and was a software developer at the University of Pittsburgh, where she earned her BS in information science. Bill is an advisory software engineer and has program manager as well as knowledge engineer responsibilities in WebSphere. His focus over the last several years has been web support and in particular electronic problem submission. Bill works with external clients as well as with the IBM support community on web support training. He is also the knowledge engineer for the WebSphere Data Power SOA appliances. Prior to joining the WebSphere Web Support Group, Bill worked in the information development area as a manager, team lead, and technical writer. Bill has been with the IBM Corporation for 25 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Elaine and Bill.
Thank you, Joseph. Good day, everyone. This is Elaine Papanikolaou, and this presentation offers an overview of IBM electronic support capabilities that help save time and simplify support for you. Many of our online support tools and resources have been consolidated, so now one tool can be used for software and hardware, and many of the tools and resources are customizable, giving you control to tailor the tools to your unique support requirements. This electronic support transformation simplifies support, making it easy, fast, and smart. Let's turn to Chart 2, and we'll look at the agenda. This agenda gives you a high-level view of the topics that we'll talk about today. As we go through the charts, you'll see there are links at the top of the chart to take you directly to a tool, and then at the bottom of the chart, you'll find how to navigate to the tool through the IBM Support portal. Let's go to Chart 3 for a closer look at the topics. The best way to view electronic support is through your information needs. So getting started, you'll need to have an IBM ID and password, and we'll discuss how to stay informed about IBM products, how to find answers to questions, and download fixes. When there is a problem, we'll look at some troubleshooting options, and we'll review the training options available to learn more about the software. Then we'll discuss some of the best practices associated with service request submission. Service request, or PMR, you'll hear interchangeably throughout presentations today, and they mean the same thing. Let's go to chart number 4 now. So if you don't have an IBM ID and password, register just once using the register link at the top of the chart. Use your email address for the ID and create your own password. Use the sign-in link when you have an IBM ID and password. And you'll want to sign in to use the IBM support portal. You'll want to be able to have that to access My Notifications, the subscription capability. Also, it's the first step to accessing the Service Request online problem management tool. And you'll need it to download fixes as well. Now let's move to chart number 5. On chart number 5, the first time you access the support portal, you'll see this page. Step number 1 is choosing products, and you can choose up to 10 of them. You can choose from hardware, software, operating systems, and services. Choose the product, and for software, you can be more specific by choosing a version and operating system. You can choose a task or leave it at the default overview task. And then the content in the knowledge base is tagged by task, so the content that displays is relevant to the selected task. Step 3 is just clicking the link so that you can see the support portal view with your selected products. Let's move to chart number 6 now. The IBM Support Portal offers a consolidated view of software and hardware support information and allows customization of the support view according to your preferences, as we said, for up to 10 software and hardware products. So we'll take a quick look at the interface on this chart. Starting at the top left, the search capability is based on the products that you select as well as the task that you choose. The product list is right below the search box. Use the checkboxes to focus on the products that you want. And then, right below that, choose a task on the task navigator on the left to view content associated with that particular task. The portlets, located in the middle of the page, display the content. Once you sign in, you can move the portlets as well as add and delete them. At the top right, you'll see the sign-in prompt. Remember that even if your name displays in the browser, you still need to click the sign-in button and enter your IBM ID and password. That's what allows you to control the portlets. Below that, you'll see some expandable modules. As you hover your cursor over, the module will expand to display additional technical support links. When you move your cursor away, it'll contract. So click the support feedback link to submit any suggestions or comments that you have about the support portal. So let's go on to chart number 7 now. When you do sign in, you'll see a plus sign that displays at the top right with a caption to add modules to your customized page. Click that plus sign to display the available portlets. And then click the module or portlet that you want and drag it to the middle of the page. Now we've selected notifications. Keep in mind, you can mix and match to suit your needs. So if you only want to know about fixes, even though you're on your overview task page, you can click the downloads task on the right-hand side and then drag and drop the recommended fixes portlet onto your overview task page. Let's move to chart number 8. On chart 8, we find that the notifications module that we wanted to move displays. But now let's take a look at search. So we're looking at the upper left. Remember that search is going to focus on the product selected as well as the task selected. And of course, we're using the checkboxes to note the products that we want. Next, enter your search string. Choose to search within My Selected Products for the content associated with the overview task, and then launch the search by clicking the arrow that's right next to the search box. And let's go to chart number 9 and see what happens. We can see search results display on a search page with a left panel to help you further refine the results. The left panel includes content type categories and the search results associated with each of those categories. That way you can easily find smaller sets of results to help you get to your answer more quickly. Move to chart 10. So on chart number 10, technical documentation for many hardware and software products can be found in the form of information centers, which are Eclipse-based versions of the product documentation. So we're talking about finding information here, where you can find information, where you can find answers to questions. If information centers don't exist, then product documentation is available to help you find answers to questions. iLog doesn't have information centers yet, but all the product manuals are available in the support portal through the documentation task view in the product documentation portlet. So let's move to chart number 11. And we're still looking at how we can find information. One other way is through IBM Redbooks. These publications are available, once again, for many products, delivering skills and technical know-how for the products. And there is work ongoing to produce Redbooks for iLog. If you're using any other products, you may find these red books to be helpful. And they can be found, once again, on the Product Documentation Portlet. So let's move to Chart 12 now. We're going to be talking now about My Notifications, and this is really an important capability that you have. It's a proactive subscription capability to help you stay informed about the products that you're using. This consolidated, complimentary subscription covers software and hardware products. It's customizable, so it allows you to choose products as well as document types such as fixes, flashes, tech notes. And delivery choices include daily or weekly emails, or you can choose RSS feeds. And remember, the support portal includes a My Notifications portlet, so that's an additional delivery mechanism for you. The portlet displays messages for the products that you select in your subscription profile. Now remember, multiple subscriptions can be created within My Notifications. This allows you more flexibility. If the My Notifications portlet isn't on a task page, remember, you can always choose it and drag and drop it. So let's go to Chart 13, and we'll start taking a look at how to subscribe. Create your subscription profile by clicking on the Subscribe tab. Then choose a product family, and you'll see that a list of products will display. Let's go to Chart 14 to see the products associated with the choice that we've made for WebSphere. You can choose on Chart 14 one or more of the products on the page, and then just click the Continue button. Let's go to Chart 15 now. This is where we're going to decide how to save the subscription. So you can replace the default name if you want to, and you can save this subscription in a folder. This is really just a place for you to file multiple subscriptions if you have them. Then once you choose the delivery method, the timing, and document types, click Submit. A confirmation window is going to display, and then you can add additional product families to this subscription, or you can create a new subscription by clicking on the Subscription tab and starting the process over again. Let's go to Chart 16 now. So now we're looking at how to stay informed about support. The Software Support Handbook is a consolidated ready reference that offers complete details about support at IBM for software as well as hardware. It includes information about the contracts, support levels, how to contact support, and it also describes electronic support options. So this handbook is created in an HTML format, so it's easy to look at, and there's also a PDF format available as well. Now let's take a look at Chart 17. And this time, staying informed, but we want to stay informed about the product lifecycle. So this is a consolidated software support lifecycle page, and it displays support policies for the products. So general availability dates are posted, as well as end of support dates by version and release for IBM software and systems products. And that very last field is the end of support date if it's been announced. The page displays the policy that each product follows, so you're going to be able to see an E for an enhanced or a 5-year support. You'll see an S for standard or 3-year support from the GA date. And keep in mind that announcement letters inform you 12 months before product withdrawal. So you can subscribe to announcement letters by following the link on the chart. And you can purchase up to an additional 3 years of a support extension on a product if you need to. Links on the page offer details of the policies as well. And then to help you plan, keep in mind that IBM end of support is limited to 2 months throughout the year, either April or September. Those are the only 2 months that will withdraw products. So let's move on to chart number 18 now. Now we're starting to look at downloading fixes, and there are a couple ways that you can do this. Fix Central is a consolidated tool that you can use to download software as well as hardware fixes for many of our IBM products, and this tool offers you flexibility in searching by product, by fix ID, by APAR. Fix Central also helps identify prerequisites or co-requisite fixes associated with the fixes that you choose to download. and there's a choice of delivery options through Download Director or HTTP. And a good way to stay informed about your current fixes is through a subscription to my notifications. On the Downloads task view, when you click a product in the Downloads and Fixes portlet, if the product is enabled to use Fix Central, that's what's going to display. Otherwise, fixes will display. Some of the iLog products already are using Fix Central. But just in case they're not, let's go to Chart 19, and we'll look at the second way to download the fixes. So on Chart 19, the support portal is always available to download interim fixes or fix packs through the Downloads task on the support portal. And the featured Download Links portlet or the Download and Fixes portlet will help you navigate to the fix lists so that you can find the fixes you need and download them. Let's go to Chart 20 now. On Chart 20, IBM Assist on Site is a remote control technology tool that allows IBM support engineers to share control of your workstation to help speed time to resolution. And this is used for more complex or long-running issues. The IBM support engineers initiate the session and invite you to join. The sessions are secure, and once you or the support engineer ends the session, the plugin is no longer usable. So more details on this tool are available through the URLs that are noted on the chart. Let's move to Chart 21. And we're taking a look now at the IBM roadmap. And we're talking about troubleshooting problems. So the roadmap is a support document. It's a quick reference, a one-page quick reference that you may find useful. You can fill in the blanks to include information that's specific to your company. And the blanks would be things like your IBM customer number, your site technical contact name. But it's a sequential view of IBM support, and it includes hyperlinks to support resources. You can tailor this document by adding your own support processes to it because it's a Word document. So let's move to Chart 22, and we'll take a look at some of the options that you have now to learn more about software products. On Chart 22, the IBM Education Assistant offers a complimentary, rich set of self-study education modules for many of our IBM software products, as noted on the chart. The education is task-based, so new team members can quickly come up the learning curve, or they can serve as a refresher if you haven't performed a task in a while. It's also a great way to learn about products that you're just interested in. Maybe you're not using them, but you're curious. iLog modules will be posted in this education tool soon. So let's go to Chart 23, and we'll still be looking at education. On Chart 23, IBM offers in-depth training worldwide for a vast set of products. This is the formal IBM education, and the delivery is very flexible. It's offered in traditional classroom settings, as customized training to meet your specific needs, or through e-learning and online training courses. And certification training, as well as testing, are available to help you validate your product skills. Let's go to Chart 24 now. On Chart 24, we're going to be looking at the Support Technical Exchange webcasts. And Tivoli, Lotus, as well as WebSphere offer these weekly, often multiple times in a week, and you're participating in one today, so you know about them already. But these offer in-depth technical information about products, as well as an opportunity to participate in a question-answer session following the presentation. Replay webcasts are also available using the links on the Previous Webcasts tab, where MP3 files as well as charts are posted for your review. Let's take a look at Chart 25 now. And we're still looking at learning and education. And this is a reminder about DeveloperWorks. It always has great technical information for you, whether you're a developer, an administrator, or a manager. You can keep up with the latest technology and use the roadmaps and links available for many of the software products to help you find the information you need. Two articles were recently published for iLogJ rules. So you want to watch DeveloperWorks for really great technical information. There's also an IBM WebSphere Developer Technical Journal that's associated with it, and it publishes technical support articles that provide an excellent beacon to technical support information. Let's look at Chart 26. Chart 26 is providing us with a checklist now. So now we're starting to look at some best practices. This checklist is information that you need to have ready before contacting support to ensure that IBM support has all the information needed to get started working on a problem. This includes specific product definition. Also, the business impact that this problem is causing at your site. Make sure that you identify the severity, so you're in charge of that. And environment information. Your IBM support engineer needs to know environment information as well. And what was happening when the problem occurred? It's especially important to have any pertinent diagnostic information, such as dumps or traces, available as well. So let's take a look now at Chart 27, and we'll take a closer look at the severities that we mentioned. Severities are based on the business impact of the issue, and if a problem is designated as a Severity 1, IBM will work that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, provided that you are also available to work during those hours. The severity level can be changed if circumstances changed from when the service request was first opened. And then keep in mind, these are response targets, and our support teams work to meet the targets, and many times you'll find that they're going to be responding more quickly. Now let's go to Chart 28. Chart 28 tells us that if you're not satisfied with the level of support you're receiving from IBM regarding an open service request, these are the escalation options that you have. First, be sure that the correct severity level is assigned and that the business impact is clearly described. If escalation is needed, you can request to speak with a duty programmer, and this is accomplished by calling the 800 number and asking for the duty programmer. The next step in escalation is to call the 800 number and ask for the duty manager, who can help find ways to get the service request back on track. If either of those steps are not successful, a complaint can be raised through your IBM account team. The final step in the escalation path is to open a critical situation where a resolution manager from IBM is assigned to coordinate the support teams and client communication until resolution is achieved. So now that we've reviewed the best practices for service requests, my colleague Bill Carey is going to discuss how to access and use the service request tool. Bill?
Okay, thanks, Elaine. So let's go to Chart 29. And as Elaine pointed out, my name is Bill Carey, and I'd like to talk in particular and drill down and talk about our SR service request tool for problem submission. And let's go to the next chart. What I'd like to do is cover the benefits using this tool, say, compared with creating or updating a PMR or a service request by phone. I'll talk about the user roles, how you can access the tool from our support portal, and then how to open a new service request, and, of course, you have an update capability as well. I'll talk about that. You have an attachment capability, so if need be, you can attach log, trace, dump files, and other documents that can help with the troubleshooting by IBM support. The administering relationships function in the tool is what our site technical contacts use to monitor, keep track of the authorized list. And then finally, there's a search capability. So if you want to access not just those requests you've created, but ones that others in your organization have created, you have a means within the tool to do that. So Chart 31. So this tool is available to customers who have different types of maintenance agreements, support contracts, namely Passport Advantage, Premium, that's actually Accelerated Value Support now, Support Line, and as you see in that first bullet, there are different types of support contracts that our customers use and they can use this tool. With the SR tool, you as a client can describe the problem you're encountering, describe your environment, and it really does eliminate, generally speaking, that call center. So if you're in the habit of dialing 1-800-IBM-SERV, or whatever phone number you tend to use to reach IBM support, you are bypassing that first point of contact when you use this tool in terms of collecting entitlement data and some other data. You have a monitoring capability, so that means you can update existing problems. So if you, on a given day, were to create a PMR or a service request electronically, say with this tool, and at another point in time create another one by phone, you're going to have access to both of those records through this tool. And the same is true if a colleague creates a request either electronically or by phone. Both of you are going to have access to those records. The important and gating factor is they have to have been opened under the same IBM customer number. So you have a monitoring capability. You can attach files, and there's also a notification option. So if you want to be notified when your requests are updated, then there is a function and an option in the tool to allow you to enable that. Page 32. So here are the roles. There's the site technical contact, or STC. That's the person who adds, edits, maintains the list of authorized users. And then that breaks down to a primary STC, or it can be, if needed, there can be secondary site technical contacts who can help and assist with the maintaining of approved lists. Now, let me make a note of the point at the very bottom of the page. For some types of maintenance agreements, for some of our iLodge customers, there's no STC initially assigned, but there is an IBM administrator who helps with the self-nominations and with the approvals. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute or so. Getting back to the second bullet at the top, there's the authorized user, sometimes referred to as authorized caller. That's the predominant role. You can have as many of those authorized users as you need, and they're the group added by any of the site technical contacts or any of those IBM admins. And then the other two points here, authorized reader is a role as well, as it suggests. It's somebody who can monitor but can't create a new request. And then there is a business partner function. So if it's appropriate, there's a means by which our clients can extend their support agreements and allow business partners to open requests on their behalf and under their customer number and contract. So, last point here, both site technical contacts and authorized callers can do similar things. They can open new, they can update existing requests. Page 33. So, I'm going to move along a bit so we allow time for questions. Two steps to get enabled. Elaine talked about registering. Very important. You only need to do it once. So you'd register on a software support site. And then the second is to be added by a site technical contact or one of the admins I referred to before via our self-nomination form. And I'll talk a bit about that as well. So a welcome email is going to get sent out once the individual is authorized. So let's go to 34. So to access the SR tool, you can start at our support portal, and it doesn't matter which product you're picking. I have DataPower listed here as a product in the middle left nav area, but I could just as easily have one or several iLog products, in that the interface is the same and the means by which you can drill down to this tool is going to be the same. So you click on the service requests function in the task navigator that you see toward the lower left of the screenshot. Next page, 35. And then next you go to the page that has service requests at the top. Now, if you hadn't already done so, you would need to sign in. So you might see the hotspot there indicating a sign-in is required. You'd use your ID and password that you selected when you registered. Next page, 36. And once you're signed in, and you know you're signed in because if you look near the upper right-hand corner, you'd see the plus sign of the add modules reference. That indicates that you're signed into our support portal. And now what you should see is the open a new software service request string in the upper center area. That's going to allow you to drill down. And let's assume I clicked on that and go to 37. Okay, so if I had access to the tool and I was authorized, it would take me in, and I'll talk a bit about what the interface looks like in a minute. But let's assume I'm new in an organization, I'm new in a company, and I don't have access to the tool yet. what would happen by following the steps I just described is it would take me to a point where I can click on a link and it will get you to a self-nomination form. So it's here that you would select, generally speaking, authorized user as the choice of a role. And then next you would see on page 37 here the area where you would need to enter your IBM customer number and then country. And what's an important point here is the country is the country of the contract, not necessarily the country where you are seated. So it's important to know a bit of detail about that support agreement and the country associated with that. By selecting or entering customer number and contract, or rather country, and pressing submit, let's go to 38, that would then generate a heads-up email to the site technical contact or the IBM administrator who would then take action on that self-nomination. So now here on 38 is what the SR welcome page looks like. If I wanted to submit a new request, I click on the open a new service request below my name or in the left nav. Same functionality behind both of those links. Next page. One point about an important part of the tool is the everyone has a profile. And some things to consider or keep in mind in your profile would be these. First of all, I registered, so some of this information feeds over automatically into my profile. Secondly, let's go to page 40. Because if I want to be notified, rather, if it's important for me to keep in the loop in terms of updates for my requests or PMRs, I can indicate that in my profile. As you see, there are choices in terms of severities and updates, and the checkbox is noted there. What's also important is to note the send notifications by email also checkbox. Make sure if you want to be notified through email that your checkbox is selected, because if it's not, then the updates are going to go into the My Messages part of the tool and are not do not go out to you into your email inbox. Page 41. The bottom part of your profile is going to contain information about creating a favorites list. Let me talk about that in the next couple of charts. 42. When I said favorites, think in terms of this preferred product component selection area as being a subset, or at least you can subset the entitled products in your support agreement. When you first start using the tool, this will not be pre-populated. But if you have a large number of products in your entitled list, you can create this preferred product component list. Again, think favorites list, and it's a way to streamline the process of getting through the tool and creating and submitting requests. 43. So the second section of the interface is going to be the entitled set of products that you have that are in your support agreement. So you can select either through the A through Z selector or the scroll bar. The bottom section, section 3, is going to be a means by which you can enter a search string, a product name generally, and you have access to not just your products but all of the products in our software catalog. And so you do have a means by which you can start the process of creating a request, even though a product may not be in your entitled list initially. 44. So to use the tool, you do need to select a product, and so you might see a number of products in that selection area. You would choose one, press continue. Let's go to 45. And then in terms of tool behavior, you would then need to select a product, or rather a component. So there might be one, there could be several components listed once you've chosen your product. You'd select one, in this case just the one, and press continue. And I'm going to 46. So in terms of the flow through the tool, next I would see contact information and verify details in terms of how I want to be notified. 47. So here's the part of the tool, in terms of the screenshot, where you select severity. Of course, our clients always choose the severity, and the levels definitions is a clicking on that link provides a pop-up for you in terms of distinguishing between a step 1, 2, 3, 4. Business impact, an important piece of information that is required in terms of helping us get a whole perspective in, on the request that you're submitting and the impact to your organization. 48. Next slide. So the bottom part of the problem description, the interface, is where you add the details of your issue. In particular, you know, title and then problem description. Note at the bottom, it's here that you can attach log, trace, dump files, if there are other must-gather type documents that we recommend you put together and transfer. You have a means by which you can associate those and get those transferred into IBM support. And then pressing submit is going to generate a PMR number, a request number, and then your issue gets sent to a queue, and one of our support engineers start working the issue for you. Page 49. I'm touched briefly on this. Relationship administration is where the site technical contact takes action, adds to, modifies the approved list. Page 50. Okay. So it's here in the search area of the tool where you can search not only and access not only requests you've created, but ones others have created as well. And so what you would see once you click on that search service requests function in the left nav would be a filtering page where you make some choices, and then what you'd see next is a screenshot that looks something like this. In terms of accessing the request, you can customize the results table. You see that link in the middle area there where it provides a pop-up and it allows you to modify the appearance of the table in a spreadsheet. Clicking on Export Report is going to generate an Excel file that you can download. Page 51. So in summary, you can use this tool to create new, to access existing requests. You have a file attachment capability. You can create service requests at any time, and you have a notification option as well. Page 52. Here are a couple of URLs for reference in terms of how to access our help desk and FAQ type information. Page 53. And so, in summary, our support portal is available to you, and you can select a number of products, not just one, but several, and access a number of our tools and initiatives, service request tool certainly being one of them. Page 54. And here are some terms for reference in terms of those that that are used commonly on our support portal. Page 55.
Thank you, Elaine and Bill, for a great presentation. Now, I would like to pass the presentation over to Laura, who will be walking you through the information on chart number 55, iLog versus IBM support. Laura, over to you.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. This is Laura Fowler, and I'm going to highlight the main differences between iLog and IBM support, kind of like a before and after snapshot. So first off is phone support. Under iLog, phone support was limited based on the geography that you were located in. There was limited hours. And now under IBM, phone support is available 24 hours a day to open a service request. All you need is your IBM customer number. And under iLog, there was an email alias where you could also open a service request. And under IBM, this feature does not exist, but we do encourage you to open service requests through the web, as Bill explained in the presentation. In addition, there was the maintenance contract number that anyone in the company could open a service request with under iLog, and now under IBM, this is similar to the IBM customer number or the ICN, but as mentioned in the presentation, the primary technical contacts will need to distribute this to the secondary contacts, and they will need to go through a self-nomination process in order to have access to this feature. Moving on to licensing. Under iLog, all the licensing was handled under the Sales Administration Department, and now under IBM, this has moved to the web licensor support, And this is a separate company outside of IBM, and they will handle all support-related matters as well as license transfers. And finally, moving on to product downloads under IBM, this is done through the Passport Advantage website, and this is also requires a self-nomination process. But if you would like to open a service request and download products through Passport Advantage, you will need to go through two self-nomination processes. And finally, if you'd like to download fixes, this is available through Fix Central, and you will also need to be set up through IBM registration process in order to download fixes. And I will now turn the call over to Joseph for any further questions about this slide. Any differences between iLog and IBM support I can answer questions for.
Thank you, Laura. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.